What is going on here? Okay, it's chiming in here. This is a quick pod as promised because lots going on. Got real busy on things, but I mean, with all this popping. First of all, greetings in the name of the Most High. Yahuwah, Yahweh, on the throne. God is on the throne. And that's the main thing you guys have to know and be reminded of. Remember, God's on the throne, and when you give it to God, don't take it back and stop worrying. You know, the Lord sees the unjustness. The Lord sees the lie, the incomprehension, the fact none of it makes sense. It's all just based on, you know, a force to tear down the United States, based on, again, would never even happen without the obvious players putting their money into the unrest, just like they did in COVID, just like they had the contact tracer agreements already done months before the COVID ever hit, for the tune of $100 billion. Hello? $100 billion, people. Bill Gates. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. $100 billion. Contact tracing before it ever hit. You've been played. But I always told you for years now, it's a simulation created not just by Gates. It's also supernatural in the sense of, you know, there is a Satan. There is a supernatural power there. And the whole point is to trap you in this simulation, get you to go along with it. And they feel that, you know, that is what, in essence, scalps your soul. That's the whole point. What's going on? I just summed it up. I could leave now. The podcast over. Okay, done. You know, as long as you know that, then you won't be programmed. If you're programmed, like the people in Santa Fe, New Mexico, not everybody, but basically most of them, the closer you get to the city of Santa Fe, to the capital, to the governor, the sooner you. Yeah, I need another one of these. Hold on. Just waking up here, you know, it's been not the best sleep, but I've got to drive our RV in for service. My batteries all went dead. Darn it. I mean, I guess it happens after a few years, right? Yeah. So I got no house batteries. I've got them, but they last, you know, 2 seconds, and then I hear that I get this low battery thing, so it's unfortunate, but I, you know, at this point, I feel like, well, I might need to get away. They have a ride in Albuquerque. Not that many people participated, but this one guy was getting mobbed by the mob, and all they are is a mob, but he's getting mobbed by the mob. So he shoots one of them, and they arrest him for defending himself. So now he's in jail, and the people that abused him are not. And they accused him of being a white supremacist. His name is Baca. Remember that name, Baca. Baca defended himself in Albuquerque. He shot one of them because they're going to kill him, basically. And they scattered too after the one guy got shot. They scattered. You'd show up with firepower, which I, by the way, so the mayor, Milkweed Toast, Panty Waste Keller, said we don't need outside agitators like this coming in armed. Well, people need to be armed in the society. I'm sorry. And they have the right to do it, Keller. You know, we don't. I suggest you move to Mexico, buddy. Get the hell out of here. Because what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. Is law-abiding, you know, gun owners are going to be making a show of force. You know, not yet, but there'll be a time where that happens. And when that happens, it's going to be hundreds of millions of people armed versus whatever the mob is. And I don't think that'll go too well for the mob. You know what I mean? I really don't think that lawlessness and poverty and breaking everything without fixing it, without any vision for the future, tearing down old statues and just tearing things down in general, intimidating the corporatocracy people, like, you know, the people that run the NFL and everything. All this stuff that you're seeing is paid for by, you know, basically a few foundations. And they're telling all the corporations, if you want to survive, you will, you know, bow down to whatever, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, whatever, you know, at least in jest. Oh, no, they're not serious. See, here's an insight for you. The people bowing down and saying, okay, we're going to remove Aunt Jemima, or we're going to, you know, do this, do that, take a knee at the NFL and all these sports events and all that, they're, none of them are serious. None of them are into the Black Lives Matter thing or anything. They're doing it because they got the order on high to do it, because it's got to do with social engineering, not with black people at all. Again, this has little to do with race, if at all. Nothing to do with race. It actually just has to do with the New World Order flexing its muscles and you know, wanting to go full on, you know, George Orwellian totalitarianism. And I suspect the reason it's stepped up lately is because Gates throws tantrums. When he doesn't get his way, he's the de facto king of the world. So if you have a complaint, it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. If you don't like the riots, it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. If you don't like the contact tracing, it's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. If you don't like the quantum dot tattoo, which is a six-prong, releases the six-prong nanodots into your system that works with your DNA to tattle on you, or to be able to regulate your body and all that. That's Bill Gates, developed at MIT. Go look up the research for MIT and the quantum dot tattoo. Yep. And ID 2020, serial number 60606.
And I also wanted to say that the mob, where that guy did shoot one of the mob, they were tearing down a statue. They were tearing down a statue.
Right, and it was a statue of Santiago, or, you know. So it's a whole different thing here in New Mexico, like I told you. It's really more Hispanic culture is the dominant culture, not white culture. And I don't know how many times do I have to repeat this? You know, I'm living around the stupidest people that ever drew breath. I mean, you know, they don't deserve to have a free New Mexico. I mean, they deserve a totalitarian governor like they have now that forces everyone to wear masks whether there's COVID or not, forces people, you know, she's getting high on the power. And the people here just take it because they're just like cows. I'm just like, you know, little sheep, you know, and they do whatever they're told. It's just, it's ridiculous. No, I don't obey, you know, the governor's order. Trish really doesn't. She's just not going to wear a mask no matter how many fines. You know, she'll fight in court. Because it's dehumanizing, you know, because it's signaling that you're a slave, you know, signaling that you're, you know. And so the people that are so woke, they go along with all this because they feel that in the future they're going to have a new world, a utopia, where they'll have a seat at the table and finally have. And they're projecting, you know, I've asked them, I've said, you know, so what rights don't you have? men, women, you know, there's homophobes out there. Yeah, but do you have the right to be gay? Yes, right? There are hate laws. There's a constitution. Big bill just got passed for trans rights, human rights. So what's the problem? See, it's not about those rights. It's not about Black Lives Matter. It's not about what Antifa wants. It's not about any of that. It never was. It's a simulation. You're living in a simulation. You're living in Disneyland. And they're pulling the strings, and part of this is an experiment on you. So the best thing you could do, first of all, is put God first every day. If you're a praying person, God-fearing, you know, man or woman, you don't have to worry about being programmed. You just have to worry about keeping your wits about you. Just remember, logic, common sense, basic wisdom that God gives you, and discernment. And God gives it to every one of his children. And, you know, you obey that and through faith. Stop worrying, number one. Give it to God and let God guide you. And then you'll learn even more about this situation. And you'll learn that, look, you know, God's allowing this right now. I think this is a little precursor as to what judgment looks like. I knew this was going to happen back in 2004. You know, that this punishment of America by people that you might call barbaric because they don't know their history. They don't know why they're tearing stuff down. They don't know anything. They just know there's power there. They want the power, so they're going to go after it. But they've been empowered by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Rockefeller family, the various wealthy families, the 12 families ruling the world, the the basic people that backed Adolf Hitler, the corporatocracy, the globalist corporate combines are all behind this revolution. The revolution, just like the French Revolution, they want to call their place CHOP. Okay, CHOP, for chopping your head off, a la, they're romanticizing the French Revolution when they say that, okay? The French Revolution paid the peasants nothing. They chopped a lot of heads off for others. The bourgeoisie, you know, the upper middle class, the trader class, the international business class, they moved up in power. The monarchy moved out in power. They moved up and took the power. The Jacobin Society, the Freemasons, and the peasants, nothing. I have studied extensively the French Revolution. Listen, the whole thing's a sham. They got nothing. In fact, it got so bad, as we moved out through the 1790s, that by the time 1800 came, they all had to sign up for the Napoleonic Wars because they were starving to death in Paris. They were starving to death in the south of the country. And, you know, the only thing going was the rise of Napoleon. Please, it doesn't take long to read about that. You know, so they're citing the French Revolution chop their heads off. Yeah, they had all this fervor. They were so excited to chop heads off back then. And when the Jacobins got going with it in the 1790s, they even chopped Robespierre's head off. Robespierre was the founder of the French Revolution, and he got chopped. Is there any way that I could ever get out of this cyber ghetto so I could communicate? Maybe it does no good. Maybe it does no good. You know what I mean? It's the facts are, you know, damn the facts. We're going to just tear this place up. So they're in tear-up mode, and they've been funded. And the only way to stop them would be to stop, you know, the people who are paying for it. And that would be, you know, there's several players that are identifiable that you could go after right now. But, I mean, we don't. The reason the Justice Department doesn't do that, and Trump doesn't do that, is he doesn't have the power to do that, because they're above our laws. Bill Gates is above the law. You can't touch him. I don't care how many people he kills, you can't touch him. I don't care how illegal, human trafficking, all the stuff he's involved in, can't touch him. And that's the way it is with the rest of them. And that goes for like the Koch brothers and the Soros and the... No, the Koch brothers, big-time conservatives? No. Are they big-time Democrats? No, they're not Democrats. Not in the traditional sense. Not Republicans either. They're globalists. They have global interests. And the United States is basically considered their footstool. And they're going to make, you know, the U.S. has had it, you know, too much freedom for too long. And they want to exercise their strength to make sure you know where your place is. And that you don't have a free country. You don't have a republic. You never did. It's always been a simulacrum. It's always been a simulation, like a flight simulator. You've never really lived in reality. You've always been on the Truman Show. You never really understood where you lived or what this was around you. And now you do. Now you do. Now you know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Never again are you going to think something like, you know, until there's a reform here, you're not going to think that, you know, your vote counts or that anything counts with you. That just that you're in the way, you're a target. And yes, they want to get rid of you, not for the Antifa folks. They're doing the you know, and by the way, they're being armed and trained in combat right now. Don't think that just because you got a gun with and you're an NRA member that you're going to be easily besting them, because they're getting combat training as we speak with the you know, protection of the FBI. You know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, the FBI is protecting these groups. And they're thinking, well, they have to learn how to shoot because they got to defend themselves. You don't hear them coming after the guns in Seattle. Of course, see, it's all right there. Right there in front of you. It's everything we've talked about for years is right there. Finally, the truth has come out. And, you know, they always say follow the money. So that's what I say, follow the money. And you can get deeper into truth, you know, deeper into the whole of, you know, cultural revolution brought to you by, and also, you know, of course, China's involved, and, you know, Gates works with China. Gates is in China like two peas in a pod, bringing in the pandemic and then promising the, which Gates called the final solution, will be here next. How long have I been talking about Gates? How many years? People didn't believe it. Now what do you believe? Right? You see, he's the head, right? He's the head. He owns them all. And he came out with his witch queen, Marina Abramovic, to promote her, and he got run off YouTube. And I could just see him throwing a fit. And so the next thing, you got a riot. I get it. I mean, I totally get it. The king was not happy. And he's like slightly autistic, so he's got this, or Asperger's thing going, so he's got this, like, you know, response like, you know, well, then I'll get even with you. You know what I mean? If you don't take my order, I mean, you don't have a choice, he says. And 7 billion people got to take this, you know, vaccine, because there's no more chip guns, folks. It's a syringe with the technology, with the quantum dot in it. They mix it with the vaccine. You get the vaccine, you get the quantum dot, you get it all in one go. And they want old people to take it too, because they know it'll call the, they want to call the old people. That's why we have all the old people dying. It's all part of their eugenics depopulation program. Look at the Georgia Guidestones. It's come to life. So they use these groups, you know, whether it's BLM or Antifa, or, you know, and all the rest of them. You know, the trans movement has gained a lot of ground with, you know, a lot of men wanting to, or identifying as women, which is partially a biological thing in the sense that the hormonal structure of our world has been changed. And that's causing men to identify as women. It's a scientific kind of program they have. I'm not sure what the reason for it is. I'm not even judging it. I don't really care. I don't think it's a choice, because you could feel it, the lack of testosterone, right? Would the default position would be to go more toward the feminine. And I think that's what's happened to so many men. They don't even know why they're doing it, probably. They just feel they were born that way. That's what they were told. When actually they're born one way, but now in this environment of, you know, the end of testosterone and the hormonal shifts that have been done by the scientists, by the little doctors, have, you know, I think the whole impetus came from the idea of depopulation. If more men identified with women, or that you push the feminine hormones in our water, in our products, in our foods, and GMO, and you know what I mean, you end up with less population. Look at the population of the United States, of the reproduction not happening. The United States will not be able to replace itself on the current trajectory. What's the plan? Well, overall plan is the Chinese will be running this totalitarian regime, and then the kings and the princes and the top people will be enjoying, you know, the world as a Elysium, as a utopia, and the little people will be under like the rubric of a Chinese Orwellian rule. I hope, you know, so that, oh yeah, they'll have to learn Mandarin, and they'll be moving here. Taking over, probably more toward the east. Southwest is going to be rewilded, so they're going to bulldoze Phoenix, bulldoze Albuquerque and Santa Fe, bulldoze, you know, Las Vegas, bulldoze. They're going to bulldoze Southern California. They're going to bulldoze the whole Southwest, is the idea, because this is the Satan's playground down here. And, that's the plan. I mean, as absurd as that sounds, that's a lot of people that live in Phoenix. Less people live in, very few people live in New Mexico, but a lot of people live in Arizona. And, you know, they have big plans for the future. And part of it is the tearing down of society. Notice how there's no plan to rebuild what's been torn down. They could. They have so much money, they could rebuild it. They don't want to rebuild. Leave it in ruins, and the people need to move away and eventually be put in government housing, compact cities, Agenda 2030. Come on, people. Part of it, too, is they're dumbing down all of us with chemicals and like I say, GMO foods, and, you know, it's almost impossible to fight anymore, and that's taking IQs way down so you can't figure out what this is. But all you really need to figure out, you know what I mean? It's like with me, it's most of the oppression is psychological. You know, I'm not against Black Lives Matter or, you know, Antifa or any group. I mean, I don't like, you know, what I see going on, but I understand what it is and where it's coming from. So I don't blame the people carrying it out so much as the architects and engineers who have engineered it. That's where my focus goes, to the core of the problem, right? Not to the manifestation or the symptom. You know, people, the Antifa, you know, poor guys, they don't know their history, they don't know anything. They've been told what to do. And to tear it down and tear the statues down, next will be the books, and next will be universities, pretty soon will be city infrastructure. And, you know, and then there'll be no plan to rebuild. Like I said, I mean, this is pretty much out of their playbook and what they've always wanted to do. And it's totally criminal, of course. And the people involved, the corporations, the CEOs, the heads of these secret societies, the bloodline elites, you know, they don't answer to any laws. They are a law unto themselves. So like I said, you know, A.G. Barr can't go after... He can't even go after a guy like Podesta. He can't go after anyone, actually. You know, the human trafficking is a big enterprise of these people. And they don't want Trump interrupting it. And they're going to... So you don't hear much about it lately. I've heard a little bit. There's been some buzz. But, I mean, it's like... That's their wheelhouse. Human trafficking, drug running, you know, selling the drugs, the vaccines, the health... World health dictatorship, overall oligarchy a la George Orwell. You know, the little people don't matter. You know, this has been the operating procedure. And, of course, Satan, which is, don't forget the supernatural power and the magical powers and the powers of bending the universe and portals and all that stuff. They got all that. I think some of these people actually put on, you know, old people makeup to look older, but they're really already rejuvenated. You know, I mean, that's another insight for you that I've been thinking about since I'm dealing with that subject in the writing I'm doing. Well, it's a very exciting time for a writer. Yeah, this is, you know, got plenty of oomph, got plenty of emotion. A lot of, you know, definitely got the bad guy, right? The governments of the world are the bad guy, but they're really working for the corporatocracy. Those are the bad guys. You do any kind of movie or any kind of TV with those guys as the bad guys, you know, the CIA are no longer the good guys, right? Law enforcement's no longer, you know, but then it goes to something deeper. Remember Mark Wahlberg in, was it called The Shooter? Or Shooter? The original movie? Well, it had the boys' club in it. It had that. It had the New World Order in it. You know what I mean? And it showed how they were going up against the New World Order and organized crime. And it was a splendid little movie, I thought. I've seen it a couple of times, and I can't remember the name exactly of the shooter. We take these things for granted, but it's a guy who was framed by his own government. To kill the president or whatever, and then they're coming after him, and he's having to get to the bottom of who these people are. And it's like, yeah, it's the club. It's Bill Gates. It's the same club that we're talking about in fictional form. They did a great job with that movie, and it became a TV series. So I think there's an audience, definitely, that would like to be enlightened. Tom Clancy hit on a lot of the corruption, but, I mean, he's not here anymore, is he? Vince Flynn hit on a lot of it with his seminal novel, which I read. I read it in Hawaii, American Assassin, which they turned into a movie, but it was never as good as the book, because the book got into the nitty gritty about the government, about just everything is corrupt. You know what I mean? It's just like in every endeavor the government's involved in, there's corruption. You know, right? The CIA, it's totally corrupt. You know, or whatever. There's white hats and black hats and all these agencies. So it's nothing is free of corruption. You know, and so when you deal with those worlds, right, and you deal with that corporatocracy, and, you know, you defend the little guy, right? You defend the little guy. You know, you and me, you know, trying to make sense out of this world. And you put that in a movie or a book or some kind of form that would be speaking to people. It's not just entertainment, but it's giving them a sort of like mana. It's like, ah, yeah, God, I'd love to, you know, get even with those assholes. And so we need a lot more stories like that. I mean, I would be lining up. I mean, I look for them on Netflix and, you know, Amazon Prime, like everybody else, are producing so much material. You know, a lot of the material you see is kind of irrelevant, but you know, the productions are pretty good in general for the TV shows. You know, we had Westworld, which looked phenomenal. I'm watching the Vikings now, the Vikings series. Got 3 seasons of that. And I found that to be just delightful. They're going to go to England to plunder it. That's not as good, though, as like having the bad guys be the military-industrial complex, right? That's the kind of story I want to say. Where you have your, you know, wayward assassin for the CIA realizes he hasn't been doing good work. He's been, you know, working for these guys. Now he believes his own government's a criminal organization. He gets hired to go against them, you know, to defend some innocent people or whatever, you know. And then he has a moral dilemma of whether he should serve his country or whether, you know, whether he should serve another private interest. And it turns out that there's no redemption for him either way he looks. And so what's going to happen to him, you know? That's a dilemma I'm dealing with right now. I love it. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, he you know, came up through the Navy, Marines, whatever, and he's had to kill Shoot, I know people that I've ministered to that had that came up through the NSA. They were, you know, were assassins. And, you know, this was during the time of the drug cartels, and they would, you know, have to go to South America, just like in the Tom Berenger movies, you know, I don't forget what they're called. God, there's another one out right now. But anyway, sorry about that. It's early, you know, I'm just waking up here. I just want to give you a little bit of my perspective and move on and, you know, not take too much time because, I don't have that much to say, but, you know, these guys, or this one guy's, you know, working for the government, for the NSA. He was a Marine, he was a gunny, I think, in the Marines, and an expert sharpshooter, right? An expert, you know, anyway, that just, they all come from the Marines. All these, you know, these sharpshooters, these snipers. Now, the movie with Tom Berenger is called Sniper 1, 2, and 3. There's another one now where he's the father of a young sniper. So I don't know if it's any good. I just saw it was out there. Tom is old now. But he had to go. I think they based some of this movie on his life because he had to go into South America. He said the thing that got him was, you know, having to, and what made him feel dirty was having to kill women and children, you know? And, you know, he had to wipe out, like, the whole family of a drug cartel that's, you know, in competition with the U.S., say, down in Colombia. And those were the kind of assignments. He had a crew, he had, you know, he had some kind of implanted chip where, you know, he'd get a buzz in his head or something, he had to go call an 800 number, or they would tell him the assignment, there'd be a crew there, two guys, I think, that he worked with, so a crew of three or four. And he said he just felt so dirty that during his wedding of one of his kids, he was going to go in full dress, and he's got an impressive jacket, obviously, but then he said he felt really guilty, and I told him, this was my advice, I said, go in full dress, you know, there's nothing that's pure here on earth. You did what you thought you would do. He retired. He got out of it finally because, you know, he just didn't want to. The problem with him was killing innocent people for the government. Oh, we don't do that. Oh, sure we do. And if you're not willing to do it, there's another guy who is willing to do it. But what happens is he is looking for redemption. Fortunately, he's a believer in Jesus Christ, and he had that redemption right there, and I believe he took it. And he, you know, tried to change his career, tried to get into a different lifestyle away from these assignments. Yep, he became an expert shooter, an expert sniper. And after, you know, he was done with the war, whatever war he was in, they had plans. I guess he was around my age. But he felt better. He understood, you know, there's nothing wrong with him that isn't wrong with me. I have the same need for redemption that he has. I may not have done what he did exactly, but I mean, it doesn't matter what the sin is. I mean, you if you go around shooting innocent people, you're gonna it's gonna tear at you if you're still intact as a human being, whether your government pays you to do it or not. You know, he did it because he believed in the country and he believed in the mission. He believed, you know, he was serving his country, you know, and he was told he was serving his country, that he was, you know, helping out with the war on drugs. And sometimes you have to, just like when you're in combat and, you know, if they put an IED out there and it kills your mates and there was some kid that did it, are you going to go gut him down? Of course you're going to gut him down, you know, and you're going to suffer with that. You know, but I mean, you know the way it is. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is. And so there's a lot of guys that have been through combat that are, you know, really feel guilty. So the character I'm writing right now is a guy who's been through, he just can't forgive himself for what he's had to do in war. Well, because the United States government is responsible. And so there isn't this rah-rah patriotic thing going on with him. He's like, you know, what the hell? You know, and then eventually he turns on his own country. And then he realizes that's wrong, too. And he goes through a whole process. You know, and... But the first process, he can't forgive himself, so he winds up in Southeast Asia just trashing himself with drugs and drinking and street fighting and, you know, proving he's tougher than all the other local boys out there. And, you know, just a total mess. And he's recruited again for another job. And it gets pretty hairy. You know, my heart goes out to these guys especially. I understand, you know, from knowing some of them, the dilemma of not being able to forgive yourself. I also haven't been able to forgive myself for being abused at times, you know, and having my, you know, and having it affect my life, and I'm mad at myself for that too. I should have been able to go on, and, you know, despite that. But, you know, things happen. And, you know, just like all the people abused in Los Angeles, I mean, in and around the entertainment business, they never have been able to come clean on it all. They never have been able to tell you, well, it's a little more involved than just celebrities. It's like an entire city is involved in it. And unfortunately, they're never going to get to that point. You're never going to hear that. So you're never going to get the real truth about all this. But the real truth is, all these people need redemption, you know, and they don't take it because they're afraid to say anything. You know, when it gets to the point, the limo driver knows all about it, even the Uber driver, and the maitre d' at the restaurant in Beverly Hills, or the, you know, when the doorman at any given hotel in town, or boys, you know, driving the valet cars, you know, facilitating prostitutes and cocaine for the, you know, the wealthy clients, the travelers that are coming in that are hooked up and connected, and, you know, the ongoing party of it all. But the whole point is to prey upon what they don't understand. None of them, in fact, no one that I've met understands what he's involved in. They just say it's too big. I don't get it. I just go along because I want to work. You know, and it's like, yeah, but but your soul is crying for redemption. Your life is being ruined. You're drinking yourself, drugging yourself to death. You're not hurting anyone else but yourself because you can't forgive yourself for having been involved in that. And when I say that, I mean society. I don't mean, you know, some exotic cult, some little death cult somewhere that, you know, worships the devil or whatever. I'm talking about society, the truth about Western civilization, and why there would be people tearing it down. And you ask God for justice, and it just keeps getting torn down. Why? Because maybe God needs to tear it down. Because maybe the foundation of Western civilization is shit. Corruption. You know, criminal cartels run it now. So, you know, how can you save it? You know, it wasn't bad from the beginning, from the founding, as they say it was, and the Indians were all peaceful and America was horrible. It doesn't matter. They want to tear it down, America. The whole point of everything you're seeing is the tearing down, the ending of America. There's no goal that you see day to day. It's the general disagreement of the founding. In other words, these are invaders who have come here to invade. This is Red Dawn. This is the war of Red Dawn. They invade. They get most of the public to go along with them and take a knee and go along with them. You know, just like, go look at Red Dawn 1, 2, and the second one. The remake is really pretty good because it's showing, like, say, I don't know, when there's North Korea or somebody coming in, and then making the citizens all bow down to them, all become, you know, indoctrinated by them, And then there's a small group of rebels who are saying, that's not America. That's not right. We've got to defend the homeland. But most people, showing most people, as was John Milius's point when he wrote the screenplay, the original idea was to warn people that what would happen here if there was an invasion, that unfortunately for you guys in America, you think you're so patriotic, most people are going to go ahead and bow down to the incoming invader because they've been conditioned by the media, by the television, by everything, by Satan, to go along. They were not conditioned to fight back. And I think your disappointment that you're seeing now is you're seeing so many people going along and you just can't believe it. You're seeing the whole American left get behind rioting and call it peaceful protest. And if you say anything else, you're a racist. Oh, yeah, free speech gone. Get rid of the Second Amendment gone. Tear down the cities, don't rebuild them back gone. Government housing for people that are vagrant, you know, in the future. You know, with crumbs given to them, compact cities, Agenda 2030, come on in. So if you want to live, if you want to get out of America, or you thought you'd get out and avoid all this, go ahead. I don't know when it will be safe to come back. It's not safe out there on the streets at night. I would recommend, you know, if you really have to, be armed, you know. Be armed and know how to use your weapon. But I'd say, why tempt fate? I would just stay in. For me, I'm not that agile right now, and so that wouldn't be the best thing for me to be doing, to be tempting fate. So I just got to stay out of the way. But like I say, as a writer, there's a lot of food for thought out there. I find myself being neutral. I have characters that I really love that are like BLM kind of people, or Antifa type of people that are just like part of that soldiering that goes on with a movement, with a cult, and how romantic that can be. I see a different perspective. I don't just see these guys as bad, these guys as good. I'm seeing it as a whole symptom of a complacent America, and that, perceiving weakness, there was an attack, Red Dawn turns out to be an attack from within, by people who are all ready to go. They just need the signal. And boom, there they were. Probably because Gates threw a tantrum after the COVID-19 thing wasn't going the way he wanted. So, people weren't lining up for his vaccine as they were criticizing him. So they brought in the unrest. I feel like I've been on the cutting edge of this the whole time. I feel I've been on the truth the entire time. Like I'm watching it on TV and I'm reporting to you. The players, what they're doing, why they did it, motivations. Big picture is obvious to me. They want to manage the decline of world population and the world itself. And, while at the same time giving themselves life extension and, moving on to the technocratic utopia that they envision for themselves. And life here is basically based on cloning anyway. It may even turn out to be that you thought you had a husband or a wife and thought you guys got pregnant, you went to the hospital, you had a baby, only to find out later that even that may be questionable. You see, it's a simulation. But it's based on wickedness. In other words, the whole point of the pressure is to do what? Get you to, through learned helplessness, to give up, to go along. And what is it you're doing there? You're giving your free will to the powers that be, which is Satan on the earth, that is, till God changes it. But why would God have Satan here testing us? Because go read Job and you'll see why. Job has the answer to a lot of things. Why is Job in the Bible, the oldest book in the Bible? To teach us. We're all Job. Anyone who wants to walk with the Lord is going to have the Job experience, right? You don't deserve what you're getting and you're getting mistreated. Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. What about the man who never did anything wrong to anybody? Crucify him. Torture him. Give us the murderer. Why is that? Indeed. Why is this world backwards and upside down? Why is that? Why is it enforced? It's my opinion of the world, the reasons the way it is to vet God's children to see what we'll do, to see whom we will serve, what we'll do with our free will, a loving gift from the Almighty God, what we, you know, making us sovereign individuals. What will we do with that? Will we enslave ourselves, or will we embrace our sovereignty under God and serve God? Being a bondservant of God makes you free, right? Being a bondservant of Satan makes you a slave. But, you know, it'll go easier for you if you just go along. Well, I'm going to go with my Lord. Well, you know, if you get caught with a Bible, we're just going to, you know, chop your head off. Okay, the Bible says the saints will be overcome before the end. But ultimately, the forever kingdom comes in. And, you know, the people that are beholden to God will shine like the stars in the heavens. You know, of course, that's literally true. And the, it also says in the end times that the people that are wicked and filthy and awful, they're going to remain that way. I think you could take that prophecy to the bank. The guys that are going to remain that way are remaining that way right now as we speak. They're not having a come-to-Jesus moment, and they're not going to. I tried to explain this to people. We're not really having a revival here. There may be an awakening going on. Hopefully that will lead to a... I don't think we'll have a technical revival. I think we may have a spiritual revolution in conjunction with their... physical revolution. There'll be a spiritual revolution where the things that we all thought were important and all that, and with a spiritual revolution, we would put God first, we would put the spiritual principles first, and things like, you know, the emphasis on any kind of carnal things or whatever would be drift away. With a spiritual revolution, it's just all going to be about God, and it's all going to be about transcending this pain of what's being done here. But you say, well, where do they get the right to do that? Where's the law? In Satan's kingdom, there are no laws. Satan's a law. And we have the illusion of laws all over the world, but it's not really, but there's always this occupying force of Satan that can overturn the laws and fairness and logic and you know, to get it, you know, to get the way of backwardsness and evil. And then people go along with it. Especially young people, because they just feel like, well, who's giving me the best deal? Best deal is going to come from Satan. And what is Satan? It's basically, for us, it would be society. Conform to society. That's the best deal you're going to get. Well, best deal you're going to get out of all of this is going to be to give your life over to Jesus. Because the Lord's real, and he guides your steps. He gives you comfort, you know. He learns lessons. You grow as a person, you know, despite this dry wasteland we live in. You grow like you're being watered as a plant, right? You grow in character through the pain that you feel, and you feel like you can't go on another step, and God suddenly makes a way for you where there's just no way. You got to give up the witness to the Lord, the thank you, the victory is yours, Father. You made the way. I couldn't do it. I'm with you. And then that relationship grows. That breach is healed. Win-win, baby. Can't get a better deal than that, as our Fred Patrick would say. You know, it's funny. I'm just thinking about 20 on 20 in the light of all this racism going on. Our 20 on 20 is a very diverse group of people with old, younger, not terribly young, but old, young, black, brown, different shades of brown, right? And different backgrounds of pretty much everybody. It's kind of a, you know, it'd be like a good representation of the world in a way. And, of course, we're all racist, probably, in their eyes. You know? And we don't think about it. I mean, the way we normal people operate is you get to know each other through all this communication on the internet, and it pretty much eliminates, you know, when you're communicating with people, whatever, different backgrounds, different colors, whatever, and you just get to be friends on a humanitarian level. You know what I mean? It's transcended any kind of race and all that. There is no racism in that regard. For most people, I think. The main racism that I see in America is where the media scares people and people are set up with stereotypes. And then they act, it affects their behavior in life. But it's not like it used to be. I mean, it used to be really pretty bad with racism. I mean, it's really bad. But at this point, it's like the mass communication is giving us all access to each other more and more, different countries, different languages, different, you know, all kinds of different people, including, you know, and that's tearing down these stereotypes. I think in a weird sense, they don't want that. You know, they don't want us getting along. They want to say, if we're getting along and, you know, you're a black guy and I'm a white guy and you're Hispanic and you're, you know, old and you're young and we're together, it's almost like 20 on 20 group, then you are racist because you didn't come through us for approval, which is that the whole country's racist and there's no redemption unless you, you know, give all your money to us or whatever, you know, shakedown. And it's just so transparent, you know. But what life on the internet proves to me is that given time and communication between people, there would be classism, maybe. There'd be injustice, but there wouldn't be a race issue given the course we're on with communications. That communication has always been the problem. And more communication has been helpful. So they're trying to cause these divisions so people don't communicate. So people have their little club where there's like, you know, no, if someone is in a club that says, you know, no Hispanics allowed or no whites allowed, then that's racist, right? If you're just communicating with human beings, and it doesn't really matter what they are, you're just interested in the same subject, let's say, or interested in someone else's culture, or you're interested in food, let's say, in gardening and, you know, technology, whatever, and you have friends from different backgrounds and races, there's no racism in that regard. Everyone's getting along fine. They come over for dinner. The kids are going to school. They're friends. They're, you know, and it would be like that if we could just leave it alone. But you get agitators to come in and agitate it up. You know, one of the problems, you know, with Antifa is classism. It's not classism, but it's economic perception of economic classism, inequality economically. You know, look no further than your big banks and your big oligarchy. They're the people who are funding Antifa, getting them mad about inequality income-wise, when they're the ones causing it. You know, don't keep trying to blame, you know, mom and pop who have a pizza place and have a house in the suburbs. You know, they're not the problem, but these guys have been told to go after those guys because why? Because the oligarchs, the rich, the really rich, they're protecting the corporatocracy and they're punishing the mom and pops and using Antifa, BLM, and the rest of them to do just that very thing. And that's really more to the core of what this is all about. Those mom and pops are responsible for the economic engine of America that was going to cut America off at the knees. You cut the mom and pops, make it about racism, make it about inequality, but then focus on the little people's stores and break them. Make sure they can never come back. 85% of the restaurants cannot come back. Or mom and pops, just average people that came here to work hard and you know, realize their dream and took a big investment out and probably mortgaged their everything they had to the hilt to try to make that dream work, that they would be business owners owning their own pizza place, let's say, for lack of imagination here. And, you know, and a lot of these people are put out of business because they were targeted and where you don't see a lot of damage to necessarily to Walmart. There's some. You don't see it to these big corporate chains. You're seeing it to the little guys. The little guys were already having trouble, you know, balancing their checkbooks and making their payroll. And now this. Well, you want to talk about what's unfair, that's terribly unfair. And then the relief that's coming is not enough to really bridge the gap. Of course, it never is. And I feel sorry for them. Well, what a blow, that what a psychological blow to somebody's when they're told they have to stay in because of a, you know, a disease that doesn't kill anyone they know. You know what I mean? It just, you know, they're that's breaking their back. And their governor, they might have even voted for the governor here, but they're being told to kill themselves. And so they dutifully do it because party over private lives for many of these people. That's the programming. You know, they will be obedient. And it's really sad, you know, but, you know, the attack was going to come, you know, and that's where we get into the Trump thing. Trump versus Biden is not really a choice. One is, you know, not that Trump is great on every front. He's not, but he's free market capitalism. The other way is anarchy and lawlessness and, you know, and totalitarianism. Where everybody loses. I don't think there's really a choice in this election. It's pretty obvious. If you know people that talk about conspiracies and talk about things, kind of like I'm talking now with giving you the truth and stuff, but they hate Trump and they don't want him elected, or they blame him from all this, move away. Get away, because they're shills. They're programmers. They go crazy when you call them out. I've called out a couple, and they start screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs. But yeah, it's not even about a man, or either man, a Biden or Trump. It's about two different directions. It's about two different ideologies. I happen to be for religious freedom for people, that even if I'm not going to church or whatever, I have my beliefs, and I have my free speech. I cherish those. I follow the Lord, you know, my own way. And I want to be free to do that. I don't want to be told I have to go to a church or not go. And, you know, it's... I would love to see an expanded economy and better trade deals and more opportunity for people so that we could close that income gap. Because if you wait for the government to close the income gap, they never will. If you think Marxism is going to close the income gap, it never will. The whole point is to get the power. Once they get the power, they piss on the little people. They actually shoot them. They shoot the little Antifas. They take them out in the back and shoot them. Because they can't pay them. You know, they're not going to have the you know, the big dream of utopia. They're not going to share it any kind of equality with income. And they just bought it, you know. The only reason they bought it is because they've been miseducated in school. They haven't been taught the truth about the history. So they just feel like they're on the right side because their professor was. And now you see the mess they're in. It's my heart goes out to them, too. I feel very sorry for them. They're so programmed. They're, like, so deep in the programming. They're so not living their own lives. They think this cause is going to bring them freedom. Whenever you see godlessness, you know, people like putting themselves first rather than the Lord, run. It's easier when you get older like me to not have, and I don't mean having no ambition. Now, I don't seem to have a lot of ambition. I mean, I do things, but it's not like when I was younger, you know, when I really had a lot of drive. I wanted to get somewhere. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to really make a mark, and, you know, I was going to tear the world up and all that. It didn't really happen for me. You know, I got sidelined, and, you know, I did okay, but I mean, it wasn't anything to write home about. It wasn't my dream. But then as I got older, I realized it didn't matter what I did or didn't do, whether it made a mark. I only wanted to make a mark because my parents did, society disapproved of me. I wanted to prove them wrong. How many out there See a lot of hands going up. Yeah. Yeah, guys. What the hell programming is that? Please, hi, Mom, you know, please, right? Mommy dearest, here's your trophy, Mom. Does this make up for it? I'm sorry, I didn't like to, you know, bend over all day long. Here's your trophy. Yeah. See, as you get older, what happens, the Lord works on you, and you get some wisdom through pain, obviously. And then you realize that none of it matters. None of the rock stars matter. Nobody matters. That it's all an illusion, because it's all in time. So therefore, it's always fading, fading, fading. And then when you realize that, you go, why would I work so hard to be a rock star when it's just a fleeting, fading, you know, poof of a vapor anyway? Exactly. God will change your priorities. We're in time. You can't forget that. We're in time. Everything that we do fades. So we got to make something count. The other thing, right, we want to make something count. And the thing you want to make count is being of service to others. Putting God above you. You know, that it's not about you. And once you start, then it's like, okay, I could be in time and let it all fade. And I'll just do whatever I could do. And when it's my time to go home, I'll fly home. Lord will take me. He sits on the throne. If he says, you go do this or you go do that, like with me, he says, you go write something. Okay, I'll do it. I don't have the ambition doesn't have to be there. Just the act of doing it. But it's funny. When you do things without ambition, they tend to come true, because you're oriented a different way. You're kind of taking your inspiration from the Lord in terms of what you'll do or not do, rather than yourself or your need for personal redemption, for getting even with people, or, you know, showing Mom you're not a loser, you know, all this stuff, you know, not being a loser. You're free to be a loser. You just get that mind control out of your head. The dogs that get the rabbit aren't necessarily the winners. They're just faster. That doesn't mean win. You know, I mean, you know, the point is that we're programmed to get the rabbit. And that's not God's programming, you know. God just takes you and takes your, you know, what you're potentially, you know, you find that you have gifts, you know what I mean, and then God potentiates those gifts for himself, for the kingdom, for his way. And once you get onto that, it's so happy, because you don't need to prove anything to anyone, and you're not being derided or feeling you need redemption for being a loser or a fool. It's okay to be a fool. It's okay not to have won in the big fight to be a rock star or whatever. It's okay to be you. You're uniquely made. You have gifts that the world cannot do without. And those gifts are being exercised whether you recognize it or not. The sooner you recognize it, though, the more satisfaction you're going to have and the more peace you'll have that everything's okay, because we're in time. Remember that. We're in time, folks. We're in time. Nothing sticks when you're in time. Everything's fading when you're in time. But things of God don't fade. That dedication to the Lord, no matter what age you are, doesn't fade. That star shining so bright, you know what I mean? That light, that doesn't fade. And you can abide in that light. It won't fade. What you do day to day, your activities, whether you sweep a floor or write a novel, it doesn't matter. It's all good. And you see that pressure is off. Now, some people are, you know, are made with gifts to, they're going to compete in the Olympics or something, and competition turns them on and stuff. And nothing wrong with that either. It's just for most people, the competition has been brainwashing. You know, that everyone runs after the rabbit, but only one guy gets it. That's unnecessary. And then everyone that doesn't get the rabbit, they feel bad about themselves. And that's unnecessary. Right? And then you can even question, you know, are we supposed to really run after the rabbit, Lord? What are we supposed to be doing here? Well, how can I glorify you, Father? Like, I'm talking about you. I pray in Jesus' name for peace for all that will listen here today. I pray for peace, and I also pray for justice, Lord, for our nation is going through an unjust time, an unfair time, and I ask you for justice and peace. I hand over this entire problem to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I look forward to tomorrow, 20 on 20. We'll be talking about human trafficking, and we've been making a dent in that. Violent John over in Pakistan, they are feeding the hungry. That if they didn't feed them, they'd die. They're right out in the street, right in the trenches, and it's they don't have a lot of time to communicate with people, but they're, you know, because their ministry turned from an orphanage, which it is an orphanage right now, to offering food to people that were starving. So they took on an even bigger, more enormous task of feeding, you know, people that in India, in Pakistan, you have caste systems. And these are the untouchables. These are the people that society has forgotten. These are the people at the bottom that you're not even supposed to associate with if you're a higher birth. The caste system. You know that? Well, I'll get them to talk about that tomorrow. Yeah, they have a caste system. It's still very much in place. And, you know, the untouchables are the lowest caste. They're the people on the streets. They're begging for food. They have no future, really. These are the people that most society in India and Pakistan has forgotten about. They've written them off. These are the people that Jesus lifted up. I said, you know, your lives matter. How about lives? Their lives matter too, even though they don't have a voice like BLM or some of these big, you know, Bill Gates Foundation projectiles. But their lives matter too, even though they're considered untouchables. No, I don't consider that any woke Americans are ever going to want to donate anything to helping, you know, the untouchables in Pakistan or India survive. I don't think so. I don't think they really consider those lives worth anything. Or they might not even know that poverty exists somewhere else besides where they're imposing it on, you know, in America. I don't know what they know. I just know that the hypocrisy of woke culture, there's so many holes in it that it's even in the hippie movement, there are less holes. It was a much more less hypocritical thing, you know, it was more pure, more innocent. Whereas this woke thing is like, it just seems like it's arbitrary totalitarianism. You will think this way. If you disagree, you're no longer woke. And in the end, they attack each other, as you've seen in Chaz or whatever. They eventually go against each other. Eventually, they're just going to wipe each other out because it's, you know, only corrupt things come from a corrupt tree. Now, we do have disparity in around the world in money and incomes and jobs and, you know, paying jobs. And we have all kinds of things that could be worked on and fixed with a better economy and better trade laws and, you know, but at the same time, when the first world goes down, right, due to the Gates pandemic, you see what ends up happening is then the third world starves. And so that's what we're trying to prevent in Pakistan. The lockdown has caused starvation. Thanks a lot, Bill. Well, to him, he doesn't care. It's part of his depopulation agenda. He's thrilled. He figures Americans will never figure out that they're stopping their businesses here in America will cause hundreds of millions of people to starve to death. They don't ever put two and two together like that. They're not going to admit that happened. They're not going to take responsibility. They're not gonna say, look, you know, we owe it to them to have a better, to get along, to have a better economy, to build rather than tear down, because it helps the world. They're never gonna link that. They're gonna say you're being a conservative or something. You're being a racist. You need to be torn down like these statues. If you say that we need a better economy, if you say that we need better, you know, we need to be beyond racism in terms of paranoia, you know. So the media has to stop. The media has to stop programming us to be racist. Right? They're doing nothing but race baiting, and so they need to be stopped, so that we can get along. But then they cause it, and then they blame somebody. Then they should be killed. That is warfare, folks. That is unfair and makes no sense on the surface. It doesn't have to. It's warfare. It's a way of hurting the other guy. It's a way of eliminating the other guy. It has to do with psychological warfare. The warfare that we've used in other countries is being used by the Pentagon against us at this very moment. They are using warfare. And, you know, when Trump tried to say he was going to use the military to quell the rioting, he was told to stand down, and he did. So, you know, lest you think he can save you, he's really, you know, it would be great if he could gain some power, because the things he wants to do are very, very good. I mean, you know, economy, human trafficking, and a number of other fronts, trade deals, and then hundreds of other little, you know, police reform. He did things the Democrats never did, and yet they're blaming him for being a racist, and people around me say he's a racist. I had to leave social media. I couldn't take it anymore. You have people around me lying about, you know, I said, well, what is racist about him? Rather than say he had, you know, he's having Cinco de Mayo, he's having a taco bowl. Uh-oh, racist. Thugs coming across the border. Uh-oh, they're all thugs, racist. Yeah, he's guilty of not being vetted as one of them, you know, not being loyal. And that's what they do to anybody that's not loyal, they get that treatment, but he just happens to be able to withstand it. But in the election, even if he doesn't have that much power, there's still, it's an election about two different ways. One would be hell on earth, obviously, for people. They would, you know, would lead to Agenda 2030. And the other would hopefully lead to some sort of, you know, reboot of the economy and prosperity, and, you know, some kind of learned, you know, some kind of intelligence about these attacks. You know, I don't know what you would do. I mean, maybe he could do something like, you know, send a task force in. I don't know exactly what mechanism, but the enemy is able to attack us and we can't do anything about it. We're told that if we say Bill Gates, we're being a right-wing conspiracy theorist. Well, since when did Bill Gates become right-wing? I mean, we're talking about him, become right-wing. Seymour Hersh talked about him. A left-wing, you know. What about Seymour Hersh? You know, I don't even understand what they're... anything they don't like. You're racist, kill, die. And what they don't like is, obviously, freedom. You know, true equality, they hate. Because they want to boost themselves above everybody, right? Lawfulness. I don't harm you. You don't harm me. We, you know, common sense is a lot of it, but then there's a lawful security. You know, secure borders, so we don't have the cartels running the sex trafficking and the drugs at the border. And MS-13 and all the rest of it. You know, law and order and security and safety and, you know, things usually people associate with having a country. That's fine. You know, as a writer, probably this is more interesting what's going on now. It's given me a lot of ideas, especially the insanity, the fact that things don't add up together. Am I against, and you know, my stance on all of it, I'm totally against racism. I'm totally against, anything, inequality around the world in terms of people be able to eat and be able to have some kind of a life. I mean, I'm for working for all that. And, you know, I don't have that much in the way of, you know, I don't need to be coddled in some kind of a victory thing once we get our way. We each get these condos in Hawaii or something. You know, I mean, nothing. You know, get your way with the whole Marxist globalist thing. They expect to be paid and paid well to become millionaires. And I would love to see things improve. Jesus said the poor will be with you always, you know. And so, you know, we're attentive. We pray. We do what we can in our own way. You know, we let the Lord lead us. And would I like to see less suffering in the world is what I mean? Yes, I absolutely want to eliminate it. Do I want to form a right-wing, white boy club? No, I'm not interested in forming any clubs. I don't feel a need to. I just am a human being. And when I write, I have ideas that are quite radical and ideas that are not radical. There's a mixture. I have a mixture of ideas. Some are, you know, would be maybe called a little bit progressive or progressive, and some might be called conservative. Some might be right down the middle. What does it matter? It's my process of living and processing. If I were president, the thing I would do is increase communications, and I'd run after the propagandists, you know, the Googles and the Twitters, and force people to be equanimous in terms of, you know, having a diversity of voices across the whole spectrum, not just one perspective, not just one set of, you know, ideological ideas, because they're very political. Some of these ideas are not political. Some of this stuff is based on common fairness we all agree on. I'll show you an area where Trump is a kind of like more like a Democrat. He believes in the social safety net and says no one's, you know, and defends that, even though a lot of conservatives put pressure on him to reduce that. He didn't do it. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because that would go against the narrative they're trying to paint, that he hates people on Social Security, that he wants to kill them. See what I mean? I'm living in a world of lies here right now. The main perpetrator of those lies, the purveyor, is the American mainstream media. They are the ones doing a lot of the programming and working with CIA, NSA, and other groups to bring you this psychological war, which ultimately gets you to comply to slavehood. So that's not America, okay? America was supposed to be a place of freedom, a place where somebody could come and, you know, from having no opportunity and no chance at work and have a chance at something, at a life. And it succeeded for many people. But now they want to tear that down. And I'm sorry that these spoiled brats like Gates, I mean, they're spoiled brats. That, you know, he was coddled his whole life. He had, you know, the only thing he's done is because of the fabulous wealth, he was able to assume power, and he was good at that. And he has no background in anything. You know, he claims to read books. I look at the books he's reading. They're books written by our think tanks and our approval of, you know, whatever. They're just society's approved of book list, which is not going to be anything but about conforming to, you know, ultimately a globalist socialist society that Gates and Melinda want to run. In other words, unchecked, this is hell where we are right now. We don't want to live in hell. My spirit wants freedom. But they want us tamped down and, you know, they want us to be able to really, truly say you're holding four fingers up, not three. And they're doing all kinds of exercises with the masks and everything else to force us into compliance. And it's really, you know, it's an education to me. how many people want to comply. And it confirms what Aldous Huxley said, where he said that they love their servitude. And boy, Aldous Huxley, did you hit it on the nail on the head. They love being slaves, meaning the bulk of society. They seem to love it. Or as my grandfather would say, people are no damn good. They're just bad. Of course, that's a very globalist thing to say, but that's the way those secret societies work. They think people are bad in general, and it doesn't matter what happens to them. They should be told what to do, and they shouldn't have any choice of their own. They should join the club for security, you know, for their family. If they don't, they should be treated with the worst possible fate if they want to be individuals out there working along for their families and living in freedom. We can't allow that to happen. What if that concept took off around the world? Then we'd be out of it. I'm glad that we've all woken up to the oligarchs. I'm glad we have all woken up to the fact that there's, you know, no governments here, that it's been an illusion, that these guys really call the shots. I'm glad that we've run into the fact that you see now how most wars are started. You see how revolutions are started. It's never grassroots, ever. It never was. It's always the guys with the money pulling the strings. That's right, folks. It's a big club, and you're not in it. And the club is based on money. The bloodline, sure, but money, basically. Who's got the money? Whoever has the most money wins. And then they get together, and they divvy up the world, and they decide what they're going to do. You know, and you've seen even the lower minions, like Fauci and Burks and these globalist medical technocrats. And you've seen how they play into it. They're not the owners, but they're like the lapdogs of the owners, and see how they do their part. You've seen the entire thing, and nobody could touch him. Trump had to sit there pretty much hogtied while these people took over the microphones. Remember? How painful. How could you forget? Very painful. You know, but he went along with it. He followed through. Yesterday he said something interesting. He used to say that he saved millions of lives. Yesterday he said hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands, something like that. He changed that. First time I heard that. He said, I saved tens of thousands. That's a lot different from millions. That's closer to the truth. The truth is, he may not have saved anybody. And I think he's having to kind of understand in a sense that he got rolled. And he also knew earlier on that this was a drill, I steer you to the Pompeo footage, where he says it's a drill, and Trump goes, I wish they would have told us. And whose drill is it? It's Bill Gates' drill. He represents a they. They tell the president what to do. So a lot of people holding out hope for the presidency, it's not the presidency you're voting for this time. It's the actual way of life. Whether or not it matters in the end, I don't know. Mark Twain said, if voting made a difference, they'd let everybody do it. I mean, they wouldn't let anyone vote, right? No, if voting made a difference, they wouldn't let anyone do it. That's what he said. Yeah, the wealthy run the governments. The well-moneyed pull the levers, and the government's held in place by blackmail. And they blackmail them like a la Epstein style, getting involved in parties with underage sex potentialities. And that ends up being on a video somewhere, or worse. You know, there are people that do very bad things. They have that on video. In fact, in the Wiener computer, they have a thing called Frazzle Drip, where apparently Hillary Clinton, you know, allegedly cuts off the face of a child, just peels the face right off. Once you cut it, you know, you can peel it like an orange, right? You peel off the face and wears it. And it's on the video. Apparently it's so disgusting that the people, the NYPD that have seen it couldn't stomach it. Many got sick. And then many ended up with unfortunate accidents, too, who were exposed to Wiener's computer. And Wiener's computer disappeared. And nobody allowed it. Now, if there's no Pizzagate, there's no Wiener computer, then you have lawlessness anyway at the very time. You don't have a country. If Wiener's computer came to light and there was arrests and, you know, things got adjudicated, then you could say, I have a country. You don't have a country with when people bury things like that. Now, what are they burying it for? Because very elite people would be shown in a way they couldn't recover from. And these guys all cover for each other. So, and what's the common denominator between them? Satan. And that's who they worship through their covens and through their groups and through their ways and through their wars and through, you know, they have their sacraments that are freely offered, but usually have some kind of numerology to go along with them, as you see in various Masonic circles. So, you know, shoot, that's it. I have a feeling that this rioting thing will calm down in a way before any election. I think Biden is too senile to be their candidate for the Democrats. I think they're going to have to bring someone else in. So they're trying to figure out who would be wildly popular. Meanwhile, they're telling you that Biden's ahead of Trump 13 points. Being in his basement, not doing anything. You know, I mean, it's more psychological warfare. But apparently voting does count for something. Otherwise, they wouldn't be campaigning this hard, right? There wouldn't be this much emphasis on it. So I'd say that'd be something to do is vote. I've said this before. People say, well, you don't own a country. You just said it yourself. See, the oligarchs run it. Yeah, but there's something about voting that actually they care about it too much. See, so I would probably say, be safe to say that the voting does count for something, even though they're going to cheat and do everything they can do to get their way. Right now, they just want Orange Man out of there. Orange Man's the cause of everything. And then they would quickly find out, with the crash of the economy and everything else, no, Orange Man's not the cause of all the problems. Never was. But they're going to say that up until they get their way. Me, I'm just observing. I feel like a stranger in America that's observing. I don't really have a political point of view. I don't have a party. I don't have a real, you know, I don't believe politics can save us. I believe God saves us. So I don't see that. I just see a lot of interesting truth coming out now that I'm grateful for. So I think for me, it's a fascinating time. It may be very dangerous, but it's not boring at all. I find it to be fascinating. And also the other clue I have is that, you know, I see a lot of people doing their sports activities, going surfing, playing, you know, the various sports, so, you know, doing things and you know, making movies again and going to theaters. And I'm seeing a lot of that going on where people aren't thinking about any of this stuff. It's just life is going on anyway. And life may pass this whole thing by. This was the last gasp of the oligarch. I feel the oligarchs will lose in the end because of jumping the shark, because of exposing themselves. I think there's a good chance to do something. I mean, I'm not saying Barr can do it. God knows what they have on him, right? Who knows? But it must be pretty bad because he doesn't do much. He talks a good game, but talk is cheap. All right, now, time to go. And I said I would keep it short. It's been 89 minutes. That's almost 90 minutes. That's longer than I wanted to go. But it's, yeah, we've had to have a blitz here with podcasts because we're, you know, even though I've repeated things I've said the last two or three or four days, it's good to keep it, you know, keep it in check. Because there's a lot of people competing to throw you off the track, to get you to think this way or that way or this way or that way. You just want to think common sense-wise. You want to think your own thoughts. Not my thoughts, but let my thoughts kind of like help to get you back into your own thoughts. I like your thoughts. I like my thoughts. If they differ, I'm completely fine with that. No problem. I love discussing things with people I don't completely agree with, and I always learn something. Just like I'm learning a lot right now about our world that, and it's really informing the writing. I mean, it's actually a good time for me from a creative standpoint with all the upheaval. But I you know, it's caused so much pain to friends of mine and things that I don't want to jump on the bad way. I mean, I got one buddy, he's just so freaked out. And he's so awakened compared to the way he used to be about 4 years ago. He knows everything now. And he was one that told us about Gates and the contact tracing, $100 billion. Maybe it's $100 billion. I'm not sure exactly. But $100 billion seems like an awful lot for that. But it was a deal that was made in Africa. He cited it. He told us about it. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know about that. So, we'll see you next time. God bless you. Look, you're welcome to join us on 20 on 20 tomorrow, 3 a.m., same time, 3 a.m. Mountain Time. It would be, 4 o'clock Central Time and 5 o'clock East Coast Time and, of course, 2 o'clock on the West Coast. We'll be there tomorrow morning.
On the 20th.
We'll be there on the 20th. We'll be there not tomorrow morning, but Saturday morning at 3 o'clock our time. We will be there.
Saturday.
And we did a little experiment with a name. There was Zeph Daniel, the Zeph Report, whatever. I just like the way it is now. It's too more obscure. I'm not looking for audience, folks. I'm not looking to for a cult of people to control. I'm just, you know, led by the Lord to do whatever things I do. But expand aware. Those are two thick concepts I deal with. You know what I mean? So it's like, you could have a name like that. So if I found that there's numbers seem to be more elastic. And there seems to be more interest when you know, my name is not on it. But, you know, regardless, I don't have anything. Let me close by finishing. I don't have anything against woke culture. It just become kind of a joke, you know, because of the hypocrisy within woke culture. That's all. I don't have anything against those people. I mean, I don't like hanging around witches and stuff because they tend to get very, very aggressive around, children of the Most High. It's not a good, you know what I mean? There's a conflict there. But I don't have anything against them personally. I don't hate woke people or don't hate BLM. I don't hate what are the other ones? Antifa and all the rest of them, the left-wing groups. And I don't hate people on the left. I get frustrated with people here in my hometown because they blindly support totalitarianism. I don't like that. But I don't hate them as people. I understand what happened. A lot of these people have, masters and PhDs here. They're highly educated professionals. And they're completely hornswoggled. You know, they're completely down. Their minds are taken over. And if you ask them what they believe in, they can't think. They can't reason it out because of the conflicts within. And they get mad, which, believe me, I'm not here to challenge them. I'm not here to talk about woke every day. In fact, I'm not going to. I'm not here to criticize, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all these different groups. I am here, though, to get at the root cause of the anarchy, to get the root cause of the destabilization, and to keep on those aspects of truth that just fascinate me so much. you know, that are fascinating, to say the least. You know, that history has been fraught with historical articles about grassroots revolutions. I'm beginning to think that every revolution has been fake. That everything has been staged. That this Truman Show we're on, it's layers and layers and layers deep not just a simulacrum, but of layers deep of program cloning. You know, layers and layers and generations of further lies and further misprogramming and further slavery of the people. And I asked the Lord, I said, these people were born in slavery. Was it your intention, Lord, to never let them out, to never let them know they have free will, to never ever break through that facade that's been created by the programmers? Truly, this is a big, you know, this is like one of my favorite movies was They Live. This is like a They Live experience, you know. They're all hypnotized, and they're all programmed, they're all clones. And you ask them, you know, could you just put the glasses on? No, they'll fight you for it. Here's the truth. I don't want the truth. You're a racist. Wait a second. You're white. Oh, I hate that I'm white. I need to go bow down to someone of color and apologize. And I'm like, not this again, you know. And so I look at those issues kind of like a sociologist would look at it. Like, what's the dynamic behind it? How do they get, you know, who are these think tanks? Who are the programmers? That would be a good field of pursuit for the next time. Who are the programmers? Well, one is the media. Two would be the film business, right? Television and movies. Three would be the university system. Right? Advertising. Okay, see you next time. God bless you, each and all. For sure.